Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC. Enjoy the message.
It's great to be with you today under these absolutely bizarre circumstances, but we always know that God is with us and He's sovereign over everything and He's going to bring us through whatever it is that we're facing. And we know that we're all facing something globally, this pandemic virus slash disease that is spread, and it's in a lot of places. I happen to be coming from you today, from my friends and family in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I'm coming to you today on spring break. We had been planned 6 months ago to be at our home in North Carolina. So we weren't running from the situation. We just happened to have flights to come south during this little two-week break that our girls are on, only to find out that, hey, the break's going to be extended. Now, when we get back to New York City, we're not exactly sure, but we are in almost like hourly conversations with our friends in our Every Nation New York City Church and our other sites that are working as well. And I'm working with pastors and leaders, not only in the greater part of New York City, New Jersey, but also in many places around the world. So it's challenging, but it's fun to be in community. This is the time when, at least thank God, we have our friends and family standing with us, and we're praying every day, almost every hour, that that this virus is going to pass over us. And I know that you are as well. So I'm going to talk to you this day about the blessing of God. There's a song that Carrie Job not long ago wrote, and my wife, Lynette, she started playing it into our household about several weeks ago. And it's really been energizing to us as a family to declare the blessing of God. And not only that, but even when somebody sneezes, we all have it on our hard drive to say, God bless you. And that came way back.
Roman Empire under Pope Gregory said that the sneeze could be a sign of plague, and so we should speak God bless you to with hopes that the blessing of the Lord would say goodbye to the plague, goodbye to any virus, and be blessed, and may the demon be gone, so to speak. And so now, whether that's factual or not, it probably is, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a historian, but it's interesting how that very phrase is on the hard drive of everyone. Everyone, politicians say it all the time. People say it. But my question is, do we really know what that means?
Do we have a grasp on what it is to be blessed and have the blessing of God in our lives? So I want to deal with that briefly today. I want to start with, what is the blessing and why is it so deeply embedded in us that we need and we want the blessing of God? And I believe that God made us to have a desire. It says, one of the great ancient theologians said, everyone has a God-shaped hole in their heart. We have this longing to have God fill it. We have this longing to have more of God, and what we would say would be the blessing of God. So a blessing, when we properly understand it, and when it's aligned with the will and the purpose of God, here's what it is. It is probably the most powerful force and the most powerful thing in the universe. Even though it's intangible, even though it's difficult to explain, because there are many, two or three Hebrew words, barak, and other Hebrew words, and there are several Greek words that sort of build a full body of the blessing is almost all-encompassing, that every area of our life would have the presence of God and the favor of God in our lives. And that's what we believe that. But it's also
affirmation from God at the deepest level of our hearts. So when Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan, and when we go there, that's where we baptize, in this rugged part that people would pretty much say, the historians and the markers would say for sure, that this is where Jesus got baptized. It's also the same place where the Israelites crossed through the River Jordan into their promised land. So it's a place full of history. And when we go there and we baptize people there, we recount this story, but it's amazing that Jesus humbled himself to be baptized, even though he was greater. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and a booming voice came out of heaven that said these powerful words. It says that this, when God the Father spoke, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And so God himself affirmed his son.
And I believe not only his son, but also those of us who are in his son are likewise affirmed because we're in Christ, and the blessing that went to Jesus also belongs to us. I have a personal example. I remember when a long time ago when I was sweating in my palms because I was visiting my wife Lynette's father to ask him for his blessing upon giving away his daughter to marry me. And I was sweating it out, and I got through it. I stumbled through it a little bit, kind of like I'm doing right now. I'm just stumbling a little bit. But it was interesting because he looked at me and he said, "You have my full blessing."
And the minute he said that, it's like I threw my shoulders back, I threw my chest out. I was empowered to take action, to get that ring, to go find the best ring. You know, Lynette, it's going to be a great ring.
And then proceed in asking her to be my wife. And many of you have had that experience as well, where you've sought your future father-in-law, or you've sought someone for a particular blessing, maybe your parents' blessing, as you're going
to join the military, go to a certain college. But this is something that happens, and when we get that blessing, we're empowered. It's interesting because the key word, study Bible, it uses these words when we talk about what it means to be blessed. And it's describing it like this. It says, to be fully satisfied regardless of the circumstances. And that's in Scripture really what it means to be blessed, to be fully satisfied in God, even though the circumstances can vary. And so the peace that Jesus gives, he said, I give you peace, not as the world gives, but it's the peace from God, and it can never be taken away from you. This is comforting and encouraging to know that regardless of what's happening out there, what's happening in here is protected, it's guarded, and it's eternal. So let's really
be careful about how much news we're watching out there and the circumstances that are so rugged and so rough for so many, and maybe for you. But nevertheless, we're not losing the peace and the joy and the love and the sense of humor even, and all those good things that come when we guard the presence and the affirmation of God within. Scripture shows us that the blessing is anything God gives us to make us fully satisfied in Him. And it's interesting that even right now, as so many things are being lost in our lives, income's being lost in our lives, for some people, family members are right now, you're in a place where you can't get to family members, you're back to your nation or your hometown or whatever. These are moments to press into God. And on a more trivial matter for some people, maybe it's not trivial for some, but for some people it's trivial. We're losing the NCAA finals this year. We're losing watching and being glued into the TV set to watch to see if our college team would be the champion again. And for my team, the UNC Tar Heels, it's a great year to shut everything down because they had a pretty bad year this year. So anyway, it's all washed away and they can pick up the pieces and come after Duke next year. Anyway, on a more serious note, it's interesting that the blessing is powerful and strong, and it's also intangible. I can't always explain it, but it's originated out of who God is, out of His character. Out of God's character, He blesses. Before there was a world, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had relationship, and it was love and blessing amongst them. And when God created His world, He blessed His creation, and He spoke over it, and He said, "You're blessed, and you're going to multiply." It wasn't a mandate to multiply. It's just because the blessing is upon them, they're going to multiply. And whatever God blesses, He multiplies. Remember Jesus with the loaves and fishes, and He put them up before God, and it says that He blessed the loaves and the fishes, and He blessed God the Father, and He brought it down, and what was going to feed just a handful of people fed thousands of people. So whatever God blesses, He also multiplies it. So when we give a blessing like God, we can do it with words, or we can do it in action, in deeds. And either way, it can be a great blessing to make a difference in someone's life. As we mentioned with creation, it's interesting that God blessed creation, but He quickly goes to His servant Abraham. He quickly says to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, He said, the Lord said to Abram, He said, "I want you to go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to a land that I'll show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great so that you too will be a blessing. And that's interesting because God not only gives us a blessing as a repository or a like a cul-de-sac, he goes beyond that and he says there's going to be input and my blessing will be too much to contain within yourself and you're going to release it to other people. So he told Abram these words. He said, you're not only going to be a blessing, but I'm going to bless those who bless you and those who dishonor you, I will curse them. And out of you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. My goodness, the blessing is that powerful that it can be given. It can be passed on. It can be given away out of our lives to other people. And so many times God then verbally blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David. And you get the point. The blessing carries on to all of God's people. And today that includes you and that includes me. Thank God. We have been grafted into this blessing of Abraham. But when God got to the law and the prophets, when he got to Moses, Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. And when he came to the law, it's amazing because even the law is blessed, no doubt about it. But in Deuteronomy 28, God gave a list of blessings and curses to the people of Israel. I'm going to read a few of these. It's a long passage, and hopefully you'll take the time to read the whole chapter. It's going to take a little while, but it has a powerful truth. And look what God says about the blessing. In chapter 28, verse 1, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, being careful to do his commandments, the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you. They're going to overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Now, it's interesting that unlike Abraham, these blessings that God put upon the law and his people were conditional, that they must obey and follow the law. However, with Abraham, they were quite matter-of-fact statements that this is what God said, I'm going to do through your life. We don't see that with Abraham, but with Moses, it's conditional. But here's what God said about the blessing. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds. Blessed shall you be your basket, your kneading bowl, your food. It says, blessed will you be when you come. Blessed shall you be when you go. Blessed you'll be in the city, in the field. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in all that you undertake. He's going to bless you in the land that the Lord is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he's sworn, if you can keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. Now, it's interesting. Once again, it's that interjection of you need to walk with God and not turn away from God. The Lord will open for you his good treasury. He's going to send rain on your fields and bless the work of your hands so that you'll lend to many nations but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and the tail, and you shall only go up and not down. These are remarkable, extraordinary, and holistic blessings where God is saying, I'm going to bless you in everything you do as long as you stay faithful to me. Now, it's interesting about this because the next section is all about the curses of disobedience. And there's at least four times, I think, as many of the curses as there are the promise of the blessings. And so what do we do about that? It's true that God does bless us in these ways. But it's also challenging to think of it that it's going to be conditional. And when you come into the New Testament, it's interesting because Paul, in Romans chapter 7, admits his frailty and his weakness on obeying the law of God. And he goes through this very difficult, challenging chapter. And when you read it, you can easily and quickly get discouraged. And you can identify with Paul who says, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, but I can't do it. Or I'm not doing what I know that I should be doing, but I'm doing the very thing that I don't want to do. That's Romans 7. It's full of frustration, full of disappointment, full of not being empowered. All these things are going on here. But it's interesting that 40 times in Romans chapter 7, Paul says either these words, I, me, or my, and there's no reference to the Holy Spirit. That's why we love chapter 8, because chapter 8, something shifts and something changes. And I hope and I pray to God that you become frustrated with Romans 7 so badly that you grab hold of Romans 8, and it's difficult to really appreciate Romans 8 unless you fully understand and really grasp Romans 7, that we all have fallen short. We all have been frustrated. We all have sinned. We all have missed the mark, and we all would have ended up with those curses listed in Deuteronomy 28 had it not been for this verse that I'm about to read, which is that how the shift comes for Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now, when he says these words, who will deliver me from this curse? Who will deliver me from this sin? Who will deliver me from this extraordinary commitment that I need to the law to be accepted in God's sight? He said, who can deliver me? Christ Jesus. Therefore now, there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus the Lord. That is not a license to sin. That is a promise from God that when we turn to Christ and receive His promise and receive Him, all of the condemnation is gone. It goes on to say that the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death, that He condemned sin in the flesh. In verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, those of us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And things just keep getting better and better and better in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is exactly what it is to live a blessed life in Christ Jesus. We can't just get it from God without Christ because we're going to fail. And we have failed. And we continue to fail. But the good news is we go back to Christ. We repent. We turn away. We have a change of mind, change of heart. We come back and we're fully accepted. We're fully loved. We're fully justified. It goes on to say so many things like, in Christ we're justified, we're sanctified, we're glorified. Anything that God wants us to have, God gives us through Christ. Adoption. We become heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We become more than conquerors. We become a different person completely, a new creation in Christ, able to do and walk with God. And then it goes on in Romans 8 to say that we know in Romans 8, 28, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We don't hope, we know this. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. One of the great gifts of being blessed of God is we know that our bad things will turn out for good. We don't know how, and we don't know when, but we know what, and we know from whom. It's from God. Verse 31 says, what shall we say about these things? What will we say? What shall we say about these things? Here's what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's quite amazing that this really sums up the blessing of God in its protective power, its purifying power, its power to help us to persevere. The blessing is all-encompassing. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or COVID-19? What shall separate us? Nothing. For I'm sure, verse 38, that neither height, depth, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing will stop the blessing from working and transferring into our lives. Nothing. And that's the best part of this, is that it's unconditional. It's wrapped up because Jesus Christ paid the price for us. When God looks at us, He can't help but see His Son. The price that His Son paid, what Jesus did on the cross when He said, it's finished. The righteous requirement has been fulfilled, not because we're moral, not because we're obedient to everything. Man, if you are, thank God. It's amazing. Only God gave you the grace to be that way and do that in the first place. But all of this is unconditional, and it's in Christ. And when He looks at His Son and His finished work, He also looks at us and He says, you've been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. The works of Jesus have accomplished everything you need that God can give you now. The gift of righteousness, which is not just living right, it is living right, but it's also right standing with God. You stand, when God sees you, He says, you're righteous with me. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, Paul goes on to say. So the covenant and the promise that we have is a good covenant. It's better. It's called a better covenant than what they had under Moses. It's better because it's unconditional. We see this promise in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that Christ redeemed us from the curses of the law. He redeemed us from that. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became the curse. Why? Verse 14, so that in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, those who are outside and away from God, so that we might receive also the Spirit that was promised through faith. And so to sum all of this up and to wrap this up, there are three key blessings that I want to highlight under this current environment that we're in and this real threat that we're in. Not minimizing anything, but at the same time, I want to accentuate the promises of God in our lives. Number one, the blessing of God brings protection in our lives. Protection. God assures us and promises us that in Christ we'll be protected. Now, that's not to say that that you won't get this virus. I'm not saying that. But I am saying I go to God and I look to His blessing to give me wisdom and empowerment to stay free from it. I do pray that way. And I hope you do as well. But it also gives us boldness to help those that need help. It gives us encouragement and confidence to race toward the problem. In the second century, during the plague of Galen, this was Rome's most famous physician. The historian sociologist Rodney Stark highlighted this, and I love reading his books. It's amazing because he is as a historian, he talks about why the church was so famous in the second century. And there are reasons, because they were experiencing the presence of God, and God gave them the grace and the blessing to do certain things, such as they says that the followers of Christ took charge of the sick. And they attended to their every need, and they ministered to them, even for those that passed on to the life to come. They did so, in the historian's view, as serenely and with happiness. It says that they ran into the plague. Now, am I suggesting that we do that? No, I'm not. But at the same time, I'm not suggesting that we go into social isolation. Certainly, we have social distancing, but we have many Christian doctors and nurses who are asking for our prayers, and I've been posting about this because they've not only asked for our prayers, but we're standing with them in faith that as they do their duty unto Christ to help the sick, that they are going to be delivered from harm themselves. But I love this because the Christian community views this differently than most of the other communities out there. We view it differently because we've been blessed. God's promised to protect us. He's promised to empower us. He's promised to uphold us. He's promised to surround us. He's promised to hold our hands. Secondly, the blessing of the Lord propels us into action. What steps are you taking right now in this unusual phase of your life? Some people are calling it, hey man, I get a paid sabbatical. Other people say, I get an unpaid sabbatical, and I'm really unhappy about that. I understand, wherever you are, this thought of the blessing, that the blessing propels us to take action and steps forward, that we don't mourn and grieve like others do. We find hope. We find that God can be with us in any circumstance, that God can deliver us from the evil, and that God can empower us and give us a dream right now in this terrible environment. When we got back to North Carolina, the first thing my wife had me do is strange. I had so much to do. We haven't been to our home in North Carolina in a long time. We've been living in New York City, as many of you know. And she said, I want you to plant this tree that was given to us. It was a little olive tree that had been sitting there, and we had a friend watering it. And she said, I want you to go out back, and I want you to plant this. Isn't that an odd thing to do with all of this crisis going on? But as I was digging, I started thinking about the blessing that this tree will be when all this passes, that 3 years from now, 5 years from now, however long it takes, one day, we're going to have our own olives. I know it's a weird thing to think about, but what are you planting right now that you're going to appreciate later in life? What is it that you're planting today that's going to be a blessing to you tomorrow? Don't give up this time by just being frustrated with it, by cursing the darkness. Light a candle in your own life. I was thinking about in World War II, I read this online, and maybe you saw this, but our beloved C.S. Lewis, by the way, he's not my uncle, in case you were wondering, during that time of World War II, He began a radio broadcast that eventually became his book, Mere Christianity. Isaac Newton was 20 years old when the bubonic plague hit, and it forced many people into a similar version of social distancing. And it says that he had to leave Cambridge, his university, for what they call now his wonder year, where he began to work on discoveries in calculus, in motion, optics, and gravitation. And it was said that that's when he created the concept of the law of gravity. Or not, didn't create it, but he discovered it. And he discovered it through watching the apple tree. I could go on and on and on about this. The Apostle Paul, what he did in his dark season of being in prison, he wrote the New Testament, about half of it. We're all restricted in this time, but let's don't lose the confidence that God gives us that even in this blessing, we're going to go from one place to the next. And I'm viewing this, that through this somehow, by God's blessing and grace, I'm going to get better. And I hope you do as well, and I'm sure you will as well. The third thing about the blessing is the blessing provides for us. The blessing of God makes sure that we know that we are not going to miss our opportunity. And we've been praying for His blessing and His protection and provision and the propelling forward for all of us. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago when I did the message here, it's interesting that that one of our small groups that was now being led by Zoom, through a Zoom conference call, and one of our girls at the close of that message, who she had experienced the presence of God through technology, she said, "Isn't it amazing? While everything else is shutting down, we're moving forward. And we're moving forward in grace and blessing and in purpose and in vision." And quite frankly, that is my great hope for everyone who's watching this and with us in this church experience online. Our prayer for you is that somehow, some way, God is breaking through in your life. I've been getting reports back of people who are hurting and confused, and we're praying for you, if that's you. I'm also getting reports back, like my dear friend Alex Meltzen, my brother who's over there in Brooklyn. And Alex said, "Man, Pastor Ron, it's amazing." And he's a bivocational pastor on our team. It's amazing. He said, "Even in this season, I just got my greatest financial contract through my business for a 24-hour job." He said, "It was unbelievable. I just got my biggest contract ever." And his work is like that, where that can happen to him. But you know what? It's a fulfillment of the covenant of God and the blessing of God, that I'll bless whatever you put your hand to. So stay steady in this season. Write your book that you've been saying you wanted to write, or maybe look at graduate school, or maybe spend time with your parents. My goodness, what a blessing that would be, wouldn't it? Get back in touch with people, whether through technology or all the ways that we can look at people in their face through technology, or maybe take other more radical steps and find people in your neighborhood whom you can help. And that's another thing that I'm watching. I'm so proud of our church that's endured this in New York City. People ask me all the time, "What's it like in New York City?" I said, "Really, you better just stay where you are. It's quite challenging to be in New York City." But we have people in our church that are helping the elderly, that are doing grocery runs, that are praying for the sick. Thank you. And keep up the great work, and keep on holding on to the blessing that God gives you. There was a couple years ago, there was a horse race in France, and it was there was a female jockey, and right at the gate, she felt her saddle blew off when she was released. The horses were released. Saddle blew off, and she fell down on the side of her horse, and part of her body was even to the under part of the horse itself, hanging on to one strap. That's all she had. And you can see this image of her hanging on, and she was able to get back on that horse, catch up with the pack, and win the race. It was a highly prized horse race in France. And that's my thought as I'm going to close and pray over you, that the blessing must be held on to. Don't let confusion, disappointment, or fear take over. What's greater than that is that God loves you, and He blesses you, and He keeps you, and He makes His face shine upon you. I want to say 15 lines from the blessing of St. Patrick's breastplate. He said these words as I'm closing, and I'm blessing you right now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, saying this, that God will be with you even as He was with Christ. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll not even disappoint you. You may be going through something that's a big trial right now, but God's got a plan and a path called the Exodus, or the Hebrew words ekodos, to get you out and put you on a path to where you can say, surely goodness and loving kindness followed me. I didn't even see it coming, but they were coming after me to overtake the trials that I was in. St. Patrick said these words.
In his breastplate, it says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit up, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, and Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me. May you, in the name of Jesus, be full of Christ, full of grace, with the full knowledge that you and your household have been blessed by the living God. And he's lifting you today. He's comforting you. And he's meeting all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now may his blessing of peace and grace be upon you through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.